Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Lazarus Man is Richard Price's first new novel in about a decade, following his best-selling 2015 book, The Whites, and before that, the 2008 classic, Lush Life. But he's been the creator of standout work for the screen in the interim. With Lazarus Man, Price gives us the story of a sudden implosion of a residential building in East Harlem and traces the reverberations of this violent collapse throughout the neighborhood and the lives of several characters who are all impacted in different ways. Richard Price is the author of several novels, including Clockers, Freedomland, The Whites, and Lush Life. He has written for TV dramas, including The Night Of, The Deuce, and The Wire, as well as numerous screenplays, including Sea of Love, Ransom, and The Color of Money. It is a great pleasure to welcome Richard Price back to The Book Show. How are you?
I'm good. This is my first conversation about the book, so I hope I'm not too fumble-stillskin.
I don't know how you could be that way. I love this novel very, very much. My understanding is that it's loosely based on something that actually happened, and I'm wondering what that event was, because it does, obviously, it is similar to other events that have happened, and what ultimately you wanted to explore in it.
Well, I mean, there was a building collapse about 20 blocks from my house, and it was a Con Ed gas explosion. And I felt it, you know, in my bones, 20 blocks away, as I usually do. I just made my way down there, you know, just to take it all in. And there was something about how something like that, it's like the Bridge of San Luis, right? I mean, what lives are affected? Why are they there? What brought them there? Is it their job to be there? Do they live there? Do they have a business there? And just to bring these people alive, circling around this catastrophe.
When you were there, were you aware that, or is it always sort of the way that, oh, this may work itself out to something that I would like to spend time with and explore in fiction?
Well, I mean, what happens with me with my books is I have an idea, but I don't have a center to the idea. And it's kind of like, you're kind of in the right neighborhood, but you don't have the specific address. And after a couple of years, sometimes something happens and all of a sudden you know the house and you knock on the door.
When it comes to this particular collapse and how you tell the story, which is in four parts, one main part that's the body of the book, but you introduce us to these characters, whether it be a funeral home director or a street photographer or a detective. The center of the book, of course, is a survivor who is pulled from the rubble. Give us a sense of that character and what it was about Anthony that you thought would make him interesting, especially given his backstory.
He's 42, 2 years separated from his wife and his stepdaughter, 6 months into cocaine sobriety, an ex public school teacher, and he's just trying to get his life together. And he finds out that he flunked out of Columbia because he dealt drugs, and his life has been on a downward spiral ever since. One of the jobs that he's good at over the years, which has nothing to do with his education or anything, is he's a good men's clothing salesman rep. And there's a job in the building next door to the collapse. And he's just trying to get his normal back and apply for this job. And it's just, he walks into the maelstrom.
And in walking into the maelstrom, you see what happens. And it's fascinating because you seem to be most concerned in the aftermath and as to the what caused this
yeah,
collapse.
It's almost like, it is like almost an afterthought. I mean, whatever caused it, it turns out to be, you know, not Con Ed, which is a gas explosion, which is what happens most of the times when buildings pancake. You know, it's something with the city building, you know, working underground to expand the subway line, and it's a tenement that's over 100 years old and it's shaky foundations. And one day it gave. But I am more interested in, there's the event. There's always like a central event.
Right.
What I am interested in always is how does it impact people that happen to be there over the days and the weeks to come. Anthony is like a lost soul. He's smart. He has an interracial background. His father was very aggressive race warrior who happens to be white. You know, his mother's a passive black woman from Alabama whose family was very wealthy. And he had a rough childhood because his father was kind of a race bully, demanding that Anthony be like have more of a militant sensibility to himself than he had. And he never had it. And his father dies and he's loose ends. He's a mess. And all of a sudden this collapse is going to change his life. He's going to be unburied. Or go Lazarus, man. And what happens to him, how he evolves once he's the center of attention, because he is the miracle survivor. You know, he's the upbeat coda at the end of a very dark incident. He's a symbol of hope. And he's now of substance to himself. And he has things to say to people that he never was able to say before, reinforced by the reinforcement he's getting from others. He's changed.
Richard Price is our guest. The name of the new book is Lazarus Man. It is published by FSG. In those moments where he has something to say, it's interesting because you have him often second-guessing himself as to whether that is something, a task that he is up to. And I don't know if I have anything to say. And yet, when he is there and the quote-unquote spotlight is on him, he rises to the occasion in an amazing way.
But he has all this stuff inside him that was dead and buried. Somebody in the book says, what I learned in Sunday school about the martyrs is, sometimes you have to die first in order to live. He, in a sense, has died. He's been buried and he's been excavated. And now but it's not just, like spiritual magic. It's his environment. It's how people react to him. He's fulfilled and he wants to keep that going. He wants to give back because they've given him so much. Yet he's constantly wrestling with the circumstances of how he got into the rubble.
I want to talk about some of the other characters. And as you say, it's about who is left, who is there, and is impacted by this. But it's interesting because as you write about this, you also learn that life goes on pretty quickly. And while you are focused, obviously, in the novel on the people who are directly involved, there are so many people on the periphery who are just like, oh, that thing that happened down the block. They move on in their lives pretty quickly.
Well, they move on, but these people, given the fact that this catastrophe compelled them to be on the scene in various capacities. The video, there's a kid, Felix, he's 24. He's right. Not, doesn't really know who he is. He's adopted. He doesn't even know what race he is. And his identity is his camera. And all of a sudden, he meets people. He meets the funeral guy. And the funeral guy wants something from him. I need somebody to videotape my ad. He has something to show the detective who he meets at that catastrophe. The detective is in charge with other detectives in trying to, who was in that building? Who are we looking for? We know who's dead. We know who went to the hospital, but there's X number of people unaccounted for. Not only that, but we have people probably cooping up with people that not on the register. I call them ghost tenants. Right. Someone's, some woman's daughter is broke, moves in with her daughter. So there's two more people than that one person that's living there. They have to track down everybody. And she's assigned a number of, AWOLs. And there's one person that she can't find. And for personal reasons of her own, she is obsessed with finding this person, even though once the day is over, that case, that missing person, is the property of that precinct right next to it, the local detective Sticko. She can't let go. And it's her search for this guy and her mixed feelings about Anthony once he starts to speak afterwards. She's drawn to him. She's moved by him. Yet she's got a little tickle of, now hold on a minute. Who else? The funeral director's going broke. He thinks he's going to, have some business if he shows up passing out funeral director cards. But everybody in this is, it's not like a thriller and there's like four disparate characters. Yet they're like ships passing in the night. And they do all these figure eights with each other, given the various circumstances. So, like I said, it's not a page turner in the sense of like, oh my God, you're just getting inside these people, living with them. And the only thing they have in common is that they were there.
So what is that like to write something like that? That is, as you say, perhaps not a direct thriller, although I found it to be incredibly, it's a page turner. It's
maybe
very
I shouldn't
suspenseful.
Have said that.
Yeah.
I take it back.
it really, the momentum of it is very fast. And I'm taken by what you just said, because they're all circling around each other. But you look at somebody like Mary, who's the cop, trying to find this missing man, but is, again, as you said, bumping into these other characters, but also seems to be in those circumstances to offer advice and sort of to be the calm in the storm.
She's the most centered person. She has her own domestic Soros, but she knows what she's doing. She's a community affairs officer. She's not chasing crooks. She's calming people down. That's her job. Calm down people who are red in the face, no matter what happens. Get permits for Stop the Violence rallies, get permits for gay pride rallies, even anti-police rallies, help them out. Her struggles and torment are domestic. And, she's the center. What I realized with this book is that I feel like I created like a tapestry of people. I feel characters much more important than plot to me. Not in a movie, maybe, commercial movie, but that's the reason why I write books, so I can just dally with the characters. And the other thing which is a character unto itself, is the location. The world, the real world that's centered around this collapse.
How much of that world is, in your mind, a city or a urban area, or specifically in this case, Harlem?
The whole point with my books, whether Clockers, for example, which is about kids selling crack and cat and mouse game between the local detective. Now that took place in a fictional Jersey City, but the whole point of this, of that, and the whole point of this building collapse area is that if you remove the characters and the catastrophe from East Harlem, and you can plunk it down into the city next to you, because you look for the universal things. Everything travels. It's not tourism. It's as true if it happened in LA. It's true as if it happened in Chicago, New Orleans. The whole story has got to liberate itself from the specifics of the place. It's not journalism. It's not nonfiction.
The time is around 2008.
Yeah.
It's the recession, but also just not that far removed from 9/11. And to have a building go down and to that sort of seems to be hanging over all of this during the novel of what had happened just a few years earlier.
Right. This. Well, you know, it's like it's an aftershock, a 7-year aftershock, because people are still shaken. People are still scared. Terrorism is in the air. You know, people read about terrorism every day. They read about people getting cancer from 9/11, and they're living on the block, and it's steaming piles of rubber, asphalt spew, toxic this, that, or the other. And it brings everybody back to 2001.
When you're there and the characters are there, and especially you feel it with Mary being on the police force, it's one of the things that helps fill in the backstory of Anthony, learning his life, his marriage, his crimes, the things that had been happening in that period of time that he is still very much getting over, in addition to what we would refer to as a rough childhood.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a rough childhood, but that's a childhood for a talk therapist. It's not a rough childhood like he lived in poverty, he saw his brothers getting killed in the streets or anything like that. You know, it was a middle-class childhood. The whole thing about Anthony, and which mirrors the catastrophe of the building, is that he's been slow motion imploding. And when the building collapses, he collapses, he implodes. And he basically just half wishes he was dead.
When you have a character like that on the verge of giving up, was it always going to be a Lazarus story of this is sort of where I want to take this?
Well, you know, with that building collapse, I realized that, you know, I have a character. There was something else happened in Asia around a collapse and a survivor. And I just said, well, I got this building collapse. This other thing that happened in Asia around the building collapse kind of stuck with me. How do I marry the two? And, you know, marry the two and then throw out the real stories. I mean, that happened to me with, if I can just go way back in a time machine. When I wrote Freedom Land, which is about a woman whose child accidentally dies, and she wants to hide the fact. I was thinking of like a certain woman with two children down south who drowned her kids and blamed it on a black guy. And so as I was seeing the story of Susan Smith, who nobody knew at that time, what was lying and blaming a black guy, Al Sharpton once said, like, a black man did it. It's the hottest item in the story. Can't even keep it on the shelves. A black man did it. And she was exposed. But down south, I was feeling like, well, the story was compelling to me. But when I went down there, the South is not the North. And I imagine what would happen in highly politicized, if a woman did this, blamed a black guy, in a high tension urban area where race was hot. And so I brought it up north. Things happen, then the thing happens in the world, and it just starts gestating in me. And sometimes I don't know what to do with it until, so you don't know what you're really writing until, you know, the ink lands on you can. I mean, Dr. Owen said outlining isn't writing, researching isn't writing, reporting isn't writing, talking about isn't writing, writing is writing. So, you know, it's almost like they say, you know, you're taking Lamaze's classes and you're learning this, and it comes to real birth, all hell breaks loose. You know, a football player, you know, receives the kickoff, there's X's and O's on blackboards. The minute he grabs that ball, all game plans go out the window.
As you tell us the story with these characters, that they all, as you say, a tapestry, but they all play a role and they're all part of this community. And the community is fascinating because it does come together, doesn't it? I mean, it is a community that is, we feel the mourning, we feel the loss, and we're looking for someone to make sense of something that just will not make sense.
And you, at the same time, as you said, life goes on. So, right. you know, some people are affected more deeply than others. You know, for the funeral guy, he's just looking for customers, you know, and he didn't get any. So, you know, it's back to business. But characters are positively and negatively affected by this. Some characters find inspiration. Some characters feel they're going to, you know, fall through the earth. It's what they bring to the party.
The way that you deal with religion / spirituality in the book is interesting, because there's for I don't think any of these characters is a true belief, but there's an understanding, and there's an openness, right?
Yes, I mean, especially with Anthony, because when he gets out, Mary, who is trying to get to the bottom of him, sees him, takes him for a ride in a car, and looks at him, and she says, this guy is struggling with himself. This guy is struggling with angels, and it looks like he's losing. You know, he wants to bring God into this. He wants to believe in God, because God will take, if God takes over, he doesn't have to think about it. Thanks to God. Whether he really believes in God, I don't know. Whether it's a desperate, how do we get out of this? How do I get out of this situation? What if I can't really remember what happened? I don't want to remember what happened, but something tells me I better think of it as a miracle.
And in some ways it is, right? I mean, that you go through what you go through and you survive it.
Well, his message to people, and he's pretty much learned this, and he doesn't even have any proof that this is true, but he feels it in his heart, is that no matter what tragedy falls on you, no matter how onerous the weight of pain is on you, if you persist, if you stand fast, if you say to yourself, no, I have been here before, might not be the same circumstances, but I know this pain. And guess what? I'm still here. And if you stick to that, ultimately, what's going to happen is that this worst thing that ever happened to you is going to turn out in the end, over the years, to be the best thing that happened to you. Now, that sounds like, you know, he's selling snake oil. Oh, really? Prove it.
Right. You know?
But he believes it. And actually, this is his story, what happens to him.
When you're writing a novel, do you allow yourself to work on other projects as well, or TV or screenplays? Well, is that included, or is it all very separate?
Well, let's put it this way. I signed a contract to write this book in 2008, and it's now 2000 billion or 2024.
Yes,
so always, you know, because life intruded, I need to make money, you know. So I had to do a lot of TV work because they needed to do it. And I was also very anxious about writing a novel because, you know, whatever I'm doing, I wish I was doing the other thing. You know, if I'm writing screenplays, God, I wish I was writing a novel. When I'm writing a novel, God, why can't I just do a screenplay? So, you know, they both suck, you know.
None of it's easy, right?
But not only do they both suck, but the suck travels, which means I suck. You know, it's like I take my suck with me. I have a little suitcase. Like, oh, I wish I was doing the other one.
Does success help? I mean, in the sense of when a show hits or a book hits?
Well, it's a feather in my cap. It's money in my bank account. But writing, that's one thing. And I've been very successful with that. And I've been very fortunate with that, linking up with the right people at the right time. But with novels, it's just like dread. I feel like you never learn how to write a novel, even if you've written a dozen. Every novel has its own way of being told. I remember Francine Prose, I asked her, how do you do this again? She said, well, I asked a friend the same question. How do we do this again? And a friend said to her, well, put down a couple of words. Okay, all right, take a break. Look at it, put down a couple of more words. All right, the next bunch, put in punctuation. Okay, do it all over again. You know, it's like baby steps. You know, the minute you have a period, you got a sentence. The minute you got a sentence, you're on your way. But I wish it was that easy. But it's primitive. The fear is primitive. The self-doubt. You know, everybody's really hot on this imposter syndrome. I always feel like, this is the one we're going to, you know, see I'm wearing glass underwear. Yeah. Which is kind of grotesque now. Don't sit down too hard.
In the back of the book, and there's a blurb from the San Francisco Chronicle calling you the poet of the proletariat. I was amused by that. It's a cool line, but I just was wondering what you would make of it.
Well, proletariat is a working class person. I mean, I'm not a factory laborer marching, you know, with the party against the capitalists with a wrench in my hand. You know, I grew up in a housing project. I feel most comfortable writing about people that I've known pretty much all my life. You know, it was a racially mixed project during the period in time in the 50s and 60s where white, black, Hispanic all lived, you know, all took the same elevator, all lived on top of each other, all were in the same homeroom. And the fathers, the working class people, the mothers, my grandparents, they were working class people. And those are the people I feel most comfortable and confident about writing about. If I had to write about a lawyer, I got to do homework, which I did for the night of. But,
right.
You know, I don't feel as comfortable writing about professionals.
The name of the new book is Lazarus Man. It is out from FSG. Richard Price, a delight to speak to you. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. Always nice to chat with you.
Yeah, same here. Appreciate it.
Richard Price's new novel is Lazarus Man. It is published by FSG. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LaDuke. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on National Productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.